Last week we began the new series called Forged, and I was sharing with you about a poll that was taken back in 2013. And again, I said, I don't know how serious this poll really was, but it was taken. And as I was watching the news recently, I heard them referencing this poll. And it was about Congress and how in this poll they were comparing Congress, and it was kind of like Congress or this other thing. And how that in this poll, Congress was less popular. These other things were more popular than Congress. And some of those things that were more popular than Congress was head lice, colonoscopies, root canals, cockroaches. There were all these things that people thought were more popular than Congress. And really the reasoning behind that in great measure was because the people really saw the men and women that were in Congress as men and women that lacked integrity and lacked character. They would say one thing and do another thing. They put on one face when they were in front of other people, and they would do something different when they were behind closed doors. And it really got me thinking about the church and how oftentimes the perception of the church is not much different than the way people perceive Congress. Is that there are a lot of times there's a perception, whether it's real or not, and unfortunately I think it's real more often than we like to admit, that there is a lack of integrity and character among the people that follow God and should be those who are the models and the examples of integrity and character. And so that really led me into this series that I began last week called Forged. And the reason I called it Forged was because I believe that our lives are forged in the furnace of our integrity or our lack of integrity. And so if we live a life of integrity, our life is going to be forged in that direction. If we live a life that lacks integrity and character and holiness, then our life is going to be forged in a different direction, and we will become whatever it is that we choose to become. And so I want to give you my bottom line as we continue this series today. Really, this is just a continuation of last week's message. And my bottom line is this. If you forget everything else I say, just remember this. Outside of salvation, our most prized possession is our integrity. Outside of salvation, our most prized possession is our integrity. And last week I began explaining why integrity is so important. In fact, that was my first point last week, that integrity is imperative and that we need to understand there's great value in our integrity. And really the reasoning for that was because integrity becomes a true guide for our life. Whatever our integrity leads us to, or lack of integrity leads us to, will become the guide for our life. And if we live lives of integrity and character, it will become a true guide that will lead us into the blessing, the favor, the anointing of God, and His purpose and His plan and His will for our lives. So we want to continue that today, talking about that. And as I go into this message today, I want to ask you a question. And that question before we really jump in is this: how can somebody who lives a life, how can a man who lives a life that at times completely seems devoid of integrity and character go down in history with a legacy as a man of integrity? How is that even possible? Where at times in his life, he's doing things that are completely lacking in integrity, and yet he goes down in history as a man of integrity. And so how can that be? First of all, and then I want to tell you today why that can be a great encouragement to your life today when we find out the answer to that question. So let's jump in today in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 3. This is our key verse for this series, and it says this: the integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. Let me read that again. The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. And so again, our lives are forged in the integrity of our lives or the lack of integrity in our lives. So whatever your integrity or lack of it leads you to is what your life is going to be. And so we want to be men and women of integrity and character so that we can walk in God's will and purpose for our life. And so today I want to continue on with this thought. Last week, again, I said integrity is imperative and integrity is a true guide. And today I want to say this. First of all, integrity is in process. Integrity is in process. So this man that I began to tell you about a moment ago, whose life seemed to lack integrity, who went down in history as a man of integrity, his name was David. And he was the first king of Israel. He lived several thousand years ago, and he was the first king of Israel. And in Psalm chapter 78, verses 70 through 72, it says this interesting thing about David. And it says, he also, he being God, it says, he also chose David, his servant, took him from the sheepfolds, from following the ewes that had young. He brought him to shepherd Jacob, his people, and Israel, his inheritance. Now, here's the key. Watch this. So he shepherded them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. So Psalm 78 essentially is kind of a history of Israel and how the northern kingdom kind of went into apostasy. They rebelled against God and they kind of disappeared into history, went into captivity, and how God chose Judah to be his people. It even goes so far back to Egypt and how God had led them out of Egypt and his children out of Egypt and all the things that they had failed along the way in their service to God. But ultimately, he chooses Judah and he raises up David to be a king. And in verse 72 there, it says, and David ruled the people according to the integrity of his heart. Now, that's great. That sounds great. That's a wonderful thing. What a great man David was. But if you look at David's life, you really see that David was a man that at times his life really, really lacked integrity. It really lacked character. And a few of those examples, David is on his roof one night and he looks down off his roof and he sees a young, beautiful woman taking a bath, and he sends for her, brings her in, and commits adultery with her. She's married, and so he not only commits adultery with her, but he gets her pregnant. And then in trying to cover up the adultery and cover up the pregnancy, David ultimately ends up having her husband murdered. And so, not really the actions of a great man of integrity. If you read a little bit later in the book of 2 Samuel, David's daughter is raped. And when his daughter is raped, he's the king, and he does nothing about his daughter's rape. Essentially, he's just like, oh, that was terrible, and he ignores it. If you read a little bit farther on in the book of 2 Samuel, David takes a census of all the people. We don't understand what a great sin that was for David, but God had specifically told David not to count the people because he wanted David to trust in him alone and not in the numbers of his people and the numbers of his armies. But God rebelled against what God said. Even Joab, David's kind of right-hand man, who was not really a man of God himself, even he was like, David, you do not want to do this census. I want you to be king forever, but you do not want to do this because God doesn't want you to do it. And David rejects his wisdom, and he does it anyway. And so he rebels against God in that way. And so you look at adultery, murder, deceitfulness, ignoring when your daughter's been raped, when you rebel against God in your actions, you see, just picture David being a man that lived next door to you, and your next door neighbor was guilty of adultery and murder and deceitfulness and his not taking care of his family and rebelling against God. Would you consider that man to be a man of integrity? I think not. And so that's who David was. And yet Psalm 78 verse 72 says that he led Israel by the integrity of his heart. And you go, why? How is that even possible? But it's not only like a man that would write that about David, but God himself speaks of David in this way. If we look at Acts chapter 13, verse 22, it says this, but God removed Saul and replaced him with David, a man about whom God said, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. And so again, I ask this question, how is it possible that the man that committed adultery, murder, deceitfulness, rebelling against God, gets tagged by God himself as a man after his own heart? How is that possible? And really, there are some things that I think we can learn from that will encourage us today. And what I want to say about that is that, again, my first point, integrity is in process. Integrity is not a life lived in perfection. It's a life lived in process. David was not a man of perfection, but he was a man of integrity. And how did that work out in his life? The thing that set David apart and earned him the title of a man of integrity and after God's own heart is that he was faithful to the process of living for and becoming more like God. And that's so important in our lives. We don't have to be perfect, but we have to be committed to the process of living faithfully and becoming more like our God. And so there are some things that David did that earned him that title that show us that he was committed to that process. And the first thing that David did was that David was honest and he was accountable. Yeah, David did commit adultery. He was responsible for a man's death. He was rebelling. He did rebel against God. He did all of those things. But when confronted with those things, David was always honest and he was always accountable for his actions. In Psalm 51, it's a psalm that David penned when he was convicted of the sin. God sent a prophet to David and really convicted him of his sin of adultery and what he had did with Bathsheba. And David's response, he writes Psalm 51, David's response was, I sinned. I failed God. He doesn't blame anybody else. He doesn't blame Bathsheba. He doesn't blame Bathsheba's husband, anybody else. He says, I take responsibility for my own sin. And if you want to be a man or woman of integrity, it begins with taking responsibility for your own failures. And so that's what David did. When God disobeyed God with the census, we see in 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 10, that he says, God, I have sinned against you, and I ask you to forgive me of my sin. So David was always taking responsibility, even when he failed. And we have to be that same way. If you want to be known as a man or woman of integrity, you have to take responsibility when you fail. So David was not perfect, but he was accountable to God. Recently, I was listening to a podcast while I was out exercising. And the host of the podcast said something that really stuck with me, and it was in terms of being a good leader. And in that leadership principle he gave, he said, we have to understand, and here's the quote, I have participated in every bad decision that I have ever made. I want to say that again because that's important. I have participated in every bad decision I have ever made. And you need to ask, you say that same thing about your life. We cannot blame others. In today's culture, we want to blame everybody else. You know, when we're talking about the politicians I was talking about earlier, when a politician gets caught doing something, they always want to blame the other person. They always want to blame the aide or the secretary or the administrator or somebody else. It's their fault, but it can't possibly be my fault. But if we're going to be men and women of integrity, we have to understand that I have participated in every bad decision that I have ever made. And so I believe much of what we can learn about David and his integrity is not defined by his perfection, but it was defined by his honesty and accountability. He understood that he participated in his sins and his bad decisions, and we have to understand that too. So don't lose your heart of integrity. I wanted to read this right off my notes to make it right. Don't lose your heart of integrity by failing to admit that you have sinned against God. Why is confession so important? Well, because the scripture tells us that when we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. So forgiveness comes from our confession. But there's a second part of what David did that goes with his honesty and accountability that we also need to do ourselves. And that's that David was not only honest and accountable, but David made it right. He made it right. He didn't just admit what he did wrong, but he made it right. See, there's a second part to repentance. You know, oftentimes we think repentance, when we sin, we repent, right? And we think repentance is just admitting that we sin, but confession is not the only piece of repentance. The second part of repentance is that I confess, but then I turn away from what I've been doing. And so if I've sinned, I turn away from my sin and I turn toward God. And so I make it right. I don't continue to do the same thing and just keep admitting to God I'm doing the same thing. But I admit to God that I've sinned, and then I turn from that sin and I make it right. I go the other direction. And so David did those same things. When we look at Psalm 51, when we look at 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 10 specifically, we see that David not only admitted that he did wrong, but he made it right. And so we have to not just admit it, we have to turn away in our relationship with God, turn away from our sin and turn toward God. But it's not just about our relationship with God. We also have to make it right in our relationship with other people as well. And I want to talk about that in just a moment. So keep that in mind as well. But look at David in Psalm 51, verse 12 through 15. He says to God, he says, restore to me the joy of your salvation and make me willing to obey you. And then he says this, he says, then I will teach your ways to rebels and they will return to you. Forgive me for shedding blood, O God my, who saves. Then I will joyfully sing of your forgiveness. Unseal my lips, O Lord, that I may praise, that my mouth may praise you. So notice the change of behavior that's noted here. Instead of deceit, David says, I will now teach others integrity and I will live a life of integrity. Instead of speaking evil, I will speak praises to my God. And so David doesn't just confess that he did wrong. David turns and he changes his behavior to line up with his confession. And so David was not only honest and accountable in his confession, but he made it right. He always made it right between him and God. He turned away from his sin and he turned toward God, and that made him, gave him the title, a man of integrity, a man after God's own heart. But as I mentioned, we not only have to make it right between us and God, but we're also required by Scripture to make it right between us and other people. And so one of the knocks on our faith as Christians from people that are unbelievers or even sometimes people in the church, one of the knocks on our faith is that we're quick to point out the flaws in others, but we don't really want to admit that we've done wrong. And so when we do wrong to others, we not only need to make it right between us and God, but we need to make it right between us and them. You know, Scripture, Matthew chapter 5, verse 23, and I'm not going to read this whole, just paraphrase, but it says, if you're at the altar and you're worshiping God, and there you remember that you have something against somebody, or maybe they have something against you, leave that place at the altar and go make it right with that person, and then come back and offer your worship. Because God puts a high premium on forgiveness and making relationships right. God places a great premium on unity between the brothers and sisters. And so if we have done something wrong between us, not only us and God, but between us and somebody else, we need to go to them, confess what we have done, and make it right. There is great power in the words, I'm sorry. But again, we live in a culture, we never want to admit that we do anything wrong. But there are great words in the power, I'm sorry, I did wrong, and I want to ask you to forgive me. Now again, they may or may not forgive you, but the emphasis is not on about the response from another person. The emphasis is on your actions and how you want to relate to God. And so you do the right thing. You go to that person. You confess your wrong to them. The Scripture tells us that if we confess our sins one to another, that we will find healing in that place. We find healing for our hearts, healing for our lives in that place of confession and accountability, not only between us and God, but between us and other people. And so again, there's great power in the words, I'm sorry. So again today, as I'm wrapping this up, I want to say this, that integrity doesn't mean that you have to live a perfect life, but it means that you live a life that is consistent. It means that you live a life that is in process. And so when you lack consistency in your life, when you lack that consistency, when you lack integrity, when you lack character, then we need to make it right. We need to take responsibility and we need to make it right. And if you will live a life like that, the good news today is that you may have in your life had a past where you lacked integrity and you lacked character. And you may feel like that's a badge that you have to wear for the rest of your life. But I want to tell you today, there's good news. If David could go down in history with a legacy of integrity, you also can go down with a history of integrity as well. If you will be honest and accountable, if you will confess your wrongs between you and God and between you and others, and if you will make it right between you and God and you and others, you too will go down with a history, a legacy of integrity and character. And that integrity and character will lead you into God's purpose, plan, and will for your life. And so I want to encourage you to do that today. Again, be a man and woman of integrity and character. It doesn't mean you're perfect, but it means you're consistent. And it means you make it right when you're not. So do that and you'll be blessed. Hey, again, I want to thank you for joining me this week. If you like what you're hearing, please drop a comment in the box below. If you don't like what you're hearing, drop a comment in the box below. Just let me know that you're here. I really appreciate it. Hit the like button, the subscribe button, the share button. Help us to get the word out, and we appreciate that greatly too. Let me pray for you today. Father, thank you for everyone that's listening on the podcast or maybe watching on Facebook or YouTube. I pray that you bless them today. Again, as I prayed last week and probably will throughout this series, I pray that you would raise up a generation of men and women of integrity, men and women of character that can be a light and an example to this world. And let that integrity and character flow out of strong relationships that they have with you, first and foremost. And I know that you will bless them for that. So I ask for that. I bless you today, Father. I thank you. I love you. I praise you. Give you all glory in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, and thank you for joining me once again this week at The Refuge.
Thank you.